Welcome to the worship service of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Yorktown. The following program was recorded Sunday morning, February 11th.
Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements in the bulletin. Just a few things to highlight. One is our barbecue is going on today. If you picked up tickets, don't forget to pick up your plates. I think they should be ready starting at 10:30 this morning. And then this week also we begin our Lenten season. And so on Tuesday is Shrove Tuesday. And we will have our pancake supper, and I think that starts at 5 o'clock in the evening, and come on until 6:30, and in the midst of that then too, we will have the burning of the palms. And then on Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we have two worship services, one at 10 o'clock in the morning, and that will be held in the chapel, and then 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Let's see, does anybody else have announcements this morning? Anything else we need to mention? I think Hans had a few this morning.
Good morning. As many of you know, a couple weeks ago, Ann and I visited a congregation up in Michigan. They recently voted to extend a call to me, and I have accepted. And so I have accepted the call. It's at Salem Lutheran in Bark River, Michigan. And which means our last Sunday here will now be February 25th, at which point myself and Ann and baby Tolpenrud on the way will be headed up to Michigan at the start of March. But I want to thank you all for your love and support for us through this process. And we're just very excited for all the next steps for our future. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else, Hans? Okay. If there are no more announcements, we begin with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. Please rise as you are so able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 161.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Thank you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, on the mountain you showed your glory in the transfiguration of your Son. Give us the vision to see beyond the turmoil of our world and to behold the King in all his glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first lesson is from the second chapter of 2 Kings. Today's reading centers on the transfer of power and authority from the prophet Elijah to Elisha. Their travels, which retrace the path of Joshua back to Moab, the place where Moses died, and the parting of the waters, demonstrate that Elisha and Elijah are legitimate successors of the great prophet Moses. The reading. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. The word of the Lord. Our psalm for today is Psalm 50. We'll read it responsibly. The Lord, the God of gods, has spoken. He has called the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Our God will come and will not keep silence. Before him there is a consuming flame, and round about him a raging storm. Gather before me my loyal followers, those who have made a covenant with me and sealed it with sacrifice. The second lesson is from the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. The spotlight of Christian ministry is not on the people who carry out ministry, but on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as God made light shine out of darkness at creation, God makes the light of Jesus Christ shine in our lives through Christian ministry. The reading. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. May be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Peter always seems to be a fascinating figure. Sometimes Peter is the one who absolutely gets it correct, who gets it right, who is bold and brave and blurts it out there, and he gets it right. But then at other times, he fails spectacularly as well. For instance, in the story right before this one that we read in the gospel lesson, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples answered, "Well, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, others say one of the prophets." And then Jesus asked them another question, "Who do you say that I am?" And it is Peter, who immediately responds with, "You are the Messiah." Peter gets it right. He is bold in his faith, and he is sure that this Jesus that he has been following around is the Messiah, the one who has been sent from God to save Israel. I mean, Peter has seen the wonderful things that Jesus has done as he's healed people, as he's walked on water, as he changed water into wine, as he fed multitudes with just a little bit of food. Peter's seen all these things, and he's heard the stories and the messages that Jesus has. He is confident, and he is sure, and he puts it right out there. "You are the Messiah." But then Jesus goes on to say, or to tell them, that he is heading towards Jerusalem, and there he will be rejected by the scribes and Pharisees, by the Sadducees and the priests. And there he will suffer many things, and he will die on a cross. And here Peter jumps right in again, and he says, "No, Lord, we can't let this happen to you." And Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. I mean, just in one story, you see one side of Peter, and the next story, you see the opposite side. In the story for today, which follows along as it starts out 6 days later, it follows that same that story I just mentioned. But this story today, we see those same things happening in Peter. And as we look at Peter, though, what's actually the focus is Jesus Christ, because it is how Peter and the other disciples perceive who this Jesus actually is. So 6 days later, then, Jesus takes his three trusted disciples, Peter, James, and John, and that's a story of grace in itself. I mean, just earlier he had said, "Get behind me, Satan," when talking to Peter, but now he's still taking Peter up as one of his trusted disciples. And he takes them up on top of that mountain, and something happens on the top. Jesus is transfigured. He's transformed. His clothes become dazzling white as nothing on this earth could possibly be. And then also standing beside him are these two figures of Moses and Elijah. Here in our story today, Mark, the gospel writer, actually has to apologize for Peter. He says they're terrified. They don't know. Peter doesn't know what he's saying. But anyway, Peter sees this vision, this glorious vision, this brightness, this whiteness that Jesus is exuding from himself. And whiteness is a sign of the purity, or the sign of God, or it's a sign of cleansing and renewal and of washing. This alb that I wear this morning is a sign of that as well. It's a sign of baptism, of how we are renewed, how we're washed, how we're made clean, how we're made worthy to enter the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. And so here's Jesus shining in all of his glory, and here are these two prestigious figures standing there talking with Jesus, and Peter thinks, "This is great. Let's just stay here." And so he blurts out, "Let us make three dwellings, or three altars, or three tents for y'all to stay, and we'll stay here too." Both Elijah and Moses are associated with the end times. And so Peter's thinking here is, hey, the end is coming. This is a safe place to be. What other safe place in this world could there be? Let's stay up here on the mountain. And like Jonah, who went up on the mountain after he had made his announcement that Nineveh is going to be destroyed, Peter, in the same way, wants to sit up there and see all the happenings around the countryside. See if there's explosions or zaps or booms or floods or whatever's going to happen at this end time that's coming, this devastation. But he wants to stay. And at the same time, he is, as Mark says, he is absolutely terrified. Jesus is changed. He's transformed. He's transfigured. And that comes down to change. Change scares us. Change puts fear into us. We're comfortable with the way things are. Even if they're not going so well, we don't necessarily want to change. But here it's overwhelming change for Peter. He can't take it all in. You know, he's used to Jesus either talking with them, maybe joking with them. They're eating together. They're camping out together, spending all that time with Jesus. He seems like a normal person for the most part, even though he does amazing things. But all of a sudden, he sees this vision. He sees this vision of God, of that glory of God shining through Jesus, and it's too much for him to take. It's actually God who corrects Peter this time. Because God comes down through a mountain or through a cloud, and it's that voice that comes out of that cloud that says, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Listen to him." And when Peter looked around again, everything was back to normal. Jesus was not glowing white or with brightness. Moses and Elijah were no longer there. But he hears this message. Listen to him. You know, I think sometimes we pray for visions. We pray for to know that certain will of God, to make our faith stronger, to make sure that we know who God is. But I think sometimes God is stingy with the visions. Rather, it is those words that came from God. Listen to Him. And God does speak to us. God speaks to us through His Word. He speaks through us through the water. He speaks through us in the bread and the wine. And God comes to us in acts of kindness. Jesus didn't stay up on that mountaintop. Jesus didn't stay up there with all the glory and the majesty of God. Jesus came on back down. He led His disciples back down onto that plain because Jesus was heading towards Jerusalem. If Peter thought that he had seen the glory of God shining in all of that brightness and majesty, what he was really needing to see was still yet to come. Because I think this is where Peter has made his mistakes. He had visions of who God was supposed to be, of that power, that might, those miracles, those signs of wonder. But who God truly is this Son, Jesus Christ, who emptied Himself of all of that, who gave all of that up to become one of us and to head towards Jerusalem. We start Lent this week. With that, we turn our focus as well towards Jerusalem. We turn our focus to that cross. Jesus had His main work yet to do. And so it's a question of who do we see as Jesus? Do we see Jesus with all that power and the majesty and the might and the glory? Or do we see Jesus in that humility, of that emptiness, of willing to give Himself up in order to save us? Because in that is the true message of who God is. That God is so concerned with us that He is willing to send His own Son to us. That God loves each and every one of us so much, and it doesn't matter what we have done. It doesn't matter the sins that we have committed. He sends His own Son down here to correct that, to wipe that slate clean so that we too can share in that glory of God. And so who do we see Jesus as? Do we see Jesus as that person of power and might and glory and want to stay there and consume all of that? Rather, we are called to follow this Christ who goes to the cross to serve all people. We enter into Lent and we turn our focus on the cross. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn number 89.
Your face and heart, it's like the sun.
Please rise as we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their need. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for revealing your Son to us in his transfiguration. Help us to share the gospel of your beloved Son so that his light may shine into the lives of all those who hear his name. Lord, in your mercy. God of healing and compassion, be with all those who are hurting in body, mind, or spirit, especially Sean Williams, David Walter, and Kate Janice. You are the source of comfort and consolation, and we pray that all those who are in need would experience your presence in times of struggle. Lord, in your mercy, we give you thanks, Holy Father, for all those who are teachers and mentors in the faith, all those who have helped the faith grow up in the lives of their fellow believers. Help us to give thanks for those who help us grow and shape us so that we too may raise up those around us in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church throughout the world. Be with all those who are suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. Give strength and comfort to all those who worship you, even when it causes them great harm. Lord, in your mercy. Let us rejoice in the knowledge that you have sent your beloved Son to us as we come to receive new life from him in the Holy Meal. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with our offering.
Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the flesh, grace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share in your divine life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come, for all is ready. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 518. And as we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.